Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. Tomorrow, American Masters on PBS presents the broadcast premiere of Buddy Guy, The Blues Chase the Blues Away. And we are fortunate to have the director and producer, the director Matt Michener, and producer Shiera Rees-Davies with us tonight on 720 WGN. I'm going to have to address you guys individually so we don't have any collisions on the air of people trying to answer questions. So, because I learned from experience, you know.
Hello.
So, let's see. Who starts the process of this documentary? Is it the producer?
It was, I started the process with the film. Talking to Buddy's record label, RCA Records. I have a very close working relationship over many years with Columbia, and we were talking and collaborating with them on this project, and it took a while to develop, and we finally got the film greenlit during COVID.
Wow.
In, I think it was July of, 2020. So, which was very exciting that when we finally got the green light to make it with our partners, PBS and American Masters and RCA Records, Sony.
Matt, a director, I think it's safe to say, is sort of in charge of telling the story of whatever it is that you are filming. What did you take as a storyline for this Buddy Guy documentary?
Well, the story is really his whole life story. Mm-hmm. As Shira said, we got a greenlit during COVID, but the original plan was to do something pretty different than what we ended up doing. We were going to go film with him on tour. We were going to film kind of all over the country, a bunch of different shows. And then obviously all that got canceled. So we kind of had to start putting together the film without having really shot anything. So really the only thing that we really had to go off from the beginning was just his life story, which, very luckily is a super rich, long, incredible story. So really the story is his life from when he's a young child in Lesworth, Louisiana, growing up on a sharecropping farm up through his move to Chicago and, up to where he is today playing at the White House. He's got a pretty incredible trajectory on his own. So we really didn't have to inflate much of the narrative. He kind of already lived it.
People in Chicago are quite aware of Buddy Guy and his history. I believe he came to Chicago sometime, in the mid to late 50s? Is that right? 1950s?
Yeah, 1957.
And he obviously had an affinity for quote-unquote blues music. And I'm guessing that at that time, most of it was done acoustically. Would you agree with that, Shiera?
Yeah, it was certainly in the 50s, definitely a different type of blues and more acoustic than later, what the blues is today, that's for sure.
Well, I was thinking of a parallel, perhaps, between Buddy Guy and Bob Dylan, in the sense that Dylan started out with, a guitar, a harmonica, and a microphone, and then went electric. And Buddy Guy went electric, and it changed everything. I mean, when he plugged in an electric guitar and started playing the blues, it took on a whole different complexity, energy. Would you agree with that, Matt?
Absolutely. I mean, his ability to, play guitar and talk and soar and cry the blues is pretty amazing. Don't you think, Matt?
It wasn't just electric. It was also just the way he performs. One of the stories he tells in the film is that how when he kind of got into Chicago, everybody, including, Muddy Waters and everybody, would play the blues sitting down in a chair. One of the things he liked to do was come in and play standing up. He'd come up to the stage and kick the chair over and kick the music stands over. He said that he was worried that he didn't know how to read music, and he found out that none of the guys knew how to read music. They just had stands up there with nothing on them. He came up and he'd kick it all over, and he'd just start playing. And he did a trick that he learned from an artist named Guitar Slim, where he would get, like a 200-foot cable, and he'd come in playing from outside. So, you hear the guitar, and you don't know where he is, come through the audience. So he really brought an energy and a kind of a style to the performance, and just kind of, went wild with it.
It's no secret that many future rock stars from Europe and England paid a lot of attention to American R&B, American blues, and playing the guitar as Muddy Waters did, I think you can obviously see or hear, rather, or both, the influence on, John Mayer, Gary Clark, Santana, the Rolling Stones. And it was part of that initial, I'm not going to call it English invasion, but there was certainly a learning curve that those musicians took from people like Buddy Guy when it came to play guitar, period.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't.
For sure. I mean, I think when he came over, to London in the 60s, and I think, the Super Show in 1969 was, when really started, people started to look at Buddy's music, and Eric Clapton was talking about it a lot. Yeah. And every really Mick Jagger as well is going to see shows, of Buddy and talking about him. But, England definitely took to Buddy because they loved his wild side of him and the way he played, and I think it took a little longer in America, actually, for everybody to warm up to his real style of playing, right?
It strikes me that it's sort of it came about in a reverse manner. They're over there in England. Yeah. Here comes Buddy Guy. He's playing like crazy. Eric Clapton and other people adopt the way he's playing, come to the United States. Yeah. People see the way that Eric Clapton's playing and then finally catch up to the guy that Eric Clapton, took a rift or two from. And that was Buddy Guy.
Yeah.
And he was here the whole time.
Exactly. That's just one of the ironies, I think, of only the Buddy Guy story, but a lot of the musical acts of that era who, you come over, I was in high school, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I'd hear a song on the radio, and I'm, oh, that's great, I love that song. And then I'd find out like 15 years later that it was originally done long before the hit version that I had heard by somebody else.
Right.
But it had been, stolen or whatever the term is, covered. That's the term. Covered by a more contemporary, quote unquote, popular artist that had access to a more conventional fan base. Shall we call it that? For lack of a better term?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there something about Buddy Guy that you learned from this process that you weren't aware of prior to getting into this? You could both answer, either one of you, or both.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Chicago area.
Oh, yeah?
In Oak Park, so just outside of Chicago.
Sure.
So I always knew his club, I knew generally as a blues musician. But I didn't know, the details in depth, and so we really dove into this project. So really, I learned, for the most part, his whole story for the first time. But I think one of the interesting parts about it that we really kind of got to as we kind of kept going through it was that he never, you know, it's a name. You always knew the name Buddy Guy, but he never had, you know, like the breakthrough that, you know, like the Stones had or these artists who were so influenced by him had, even Muddy Waters had. He was always sort of close, and then he'd kind of go down a bit, and he was always kind of in the middle ground, and he influenced all the huge artists. But for a long time, he was not the big artist on himself, and he almost sort of never was. He was just always the best, and he was always, you know, the other best guitarist, you know, favorite. So it is sort of interesting how long he's lasted in that sense of just kind of being so respected by everybody who knows the blues and knows guitars. So I think that's one interesting aspect of his legacy, that he was never like the number one guy in the country. You know, he was probably never even really in the top 10. I'd have to search, and he might have been. He's won Grammys and he's won awards, and he's been much more recognized now, and he's played at the White House. But he had a really interesting journey to get there. And in that time, when he was up or when he was down, you know, the way he defines it, he just never had stopped playing. And that's sort of what got him to this point, which I think
absolutely.
Is
absolutely. Yeah, because there were periods of when he didn't have a record contract, and then he did. And I think what's amazing is that he just played, like, you know, over 120 shows, like, a year, just live, playing live constantly around the world and touring. And he really built his fan base over the touring aspect. It wasn't necessarily, oh, I need the hit single or the album. And, you know, yes, he had some earlier albums and then a period where he didn't have, album, but he just continued to play and build his fan base and build respect and really become one of the most influential guitarists in blues, in the world, really. I mean, there's just very few guitarists, a handful of them, when you really look at it, the Muddy Waters, the Howlin' Wolf, the B.B. Kings, and the Eric Claptons, and obviously, you know, you start to kind of, you know, yeah, that's obviously the newer, younger generations, yeah. The Gary Clarks, the John Mayers, but right. Really, you know, there aren't that many now left of his generation of, mm-hmm. you know, of Chicago blues, you know, guitarists. And he's one of the few iconic legends, you know, left, like, you know, and the fact that he got to play, you know, the song, you know, Sweet Home Chicago with Obama, who managed to sing a few words. I mean, that was a pretty pinnacle, I think, part in his career. Certainly, he said that in the documentary and film. You know, but yes, I think we both, Matt and I, learned a lot from the research and really getting to know him.
Well, it's a credit to your efforts making this American Masters episode tomorrow, by the way, on PBS, Buddy Guy, the Blues, Chase the Blues Away. We're talking to Matt, the director, and Shira, the executive producer. I mean, you're informing everyone about Buddy Guy and filling in some blanks that maybe most people aren't aware of because he was so overshadowed by people who had used him as an inspiration, and perhaps, in your opinion, he didn't get the credit that he was due, and this documentary takes a step in rectifying that.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
Right.
And I have to tell the story in his words.
My curiosity is killing me. Shira, what's your background?
My background is in music. I've worked in music for many years, from managing artists to executive producing hundreds of music videos and working with Beyonce and Jay-Z and multi-camera concert films and documentaries. And I come from a music background. That's what I've done for the last 20, 30 years of my life.
Are you from the United Kingdom?
I am. I'm from London originally, moved to New York, and then now I live in California, in LA, in Laurel Canyon.
So Jay-Z, I mean, here we have Buddy Guy, and now we have Jay-Z and Beyonce. I mean, that's pretty much covering a big musical spectrum.
I've worked in every aspect, from hip hop to rock to pop to across the board, all artists of all genres. There's one genre I haven't ever worked in, but they're all incredible artists and super hard working, and I think that's really, you know, what defines the ones that make it to the top are the ones that are super dedicated at their craft and work 24/7, right? Yeah, you know, they put the time in and the energy into performing and recording, and they live and breathe their work, which I think we all do in our business if we want to exceed and excel in life.
I think you're absolutely right.
And do
right.
what we love to do, right? You know, I love music and film, and that's my passion. So,
Buddy Guy, The Blues, Chase the Blues Away, premieres tomorrow on PBS in Chicago on Channel 11 at, I believe, 8 p.m. Central Time. So check your listing just to make sure. And I want to thank you. Want to thank both of you very much, first of all, for putting together what sounds to me is going to be a fantastic presentation on American Masters. And also, secondly, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here at WGN tonight.
Thank you so much.